As Cleveland gets ready to kick off the Republican National Convention, the city's marking the 50th anniversary of an event that put it in the national spotlight, the Hough Riots. The riots lasted a week, and the violence has come to symbolize the social disparities of a segregated city. But some people in Cleveland remember those dark days differently, as a time when local teenagers, black and white, came together over their love of music. David C. Barnett of Here and Now contributor WCPN IdeaStream takes us to the East Side Club in Cleveland, where it all happened, a place called Leo's Casino.
As CEO of the Urban League of Greater Cleveland, Marsha Mockabee focuses on such heady issues as workforce development and economic empowerment. But mention Leo's Casino, and she's a teenager again.
My first trip there was at 16. I won the dinner with the Temptations. They took us to Leo's Casino and brought us on stage and sang My Girl to us.
I've got sunshine.
I was the most popular girl in my high school for about a week.
Sitting in a suburban cafe, Ruthie Brown recalls it was a girlfriend who got her to go to Leo's for the first time.
She says, we're going to go to this club that everybody goes to.
The former community relations director at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Brown says Motown Records chief Barry Gordy was a canny businessman who used Leo's Casino as a test market. The rhythm and blues music that his groups recorded was sold to both African-American and white teens under the racially neutral banner of the Sound of Young America.
Barry Gordy used Cleveland as sort of like a template for hits. If it was a hit in Cleveland, it was going to be a hit nationally.
Leo's Casino originally opened as a jazz venue in the 1950s. It was part of a musical tradition called Black and Tan Clubs, bars that attracted both black and white audiences. Ernie Krivda recalls being part of a wave of new listeners.
My generation of young suburban kids going into the inner city to check out the music.
A budding saxophonist, Krivda was eventually hired as a regular local sideman to the many Motown groups that passed through the packed club.
I mean, everybody dug it. They were sharing the love for this newly sophisticated pop music, which Motown was. And Leo's was bringing them in.
One of Motown's top acts, The Supremes, was finishing up a six-night stand at Leo's on July 19, 1966, when they became a part of Cleveland history. Several blocks away, an outbreak of fires and looting spread along Hough Avenue. Historian John Grabowski traces it to a pattern of poverty and discrimination that simmered in the neighborhood for years.
Which sets off what some of my colleagues would call not a riot, but a rebellion against the conditions. And that's just north of Leo's.
Ruthie Brown says there were National Guard units rolling past the club towards the disturbance. One guardsman was surprised to find a concert in full swing when he walked in the front door.
The National Guard person comes on and says, this place is closed. Do you see those tanks outside? There's a riot going on. They had to make the people go home.
Over the next week, the neighborhood was shut down. For a musician like Ernie Krivda, the violent nights in Hough damaged more than buildings.
That whole East Side music thing took a big hit, as far as I'm concerned. It was sad.
He says a week of disturbances led to years of fear and suspicion between whites and blacks in that East Side music scene in Cleveland. Area clubs were shuttered as audiences disappeared. Leo's Casino did reopen a few weeks after the riots and stayed in business for about another 6 years or so, but things had changed. John Grabowski says the once thriving music scene had withered.
But nevertheless, I don't think that negates the symbolic and actual importance of something like Leo's Casino, where you had black entertainers coming in a white audience and a black audience sharing space.
In an era when modern music clubs regularly draw multicultural crowds, it may be hard to imagine a time when racial mixing was rare. But one of the seeds for today's diversity was planted at a place that offered an alternative to the segregated world outside. For Here and Now, I'm David C. Barnett in Cleveland.
Someday we'll live together.
listening to Here and Now.